Hello, and welcome to a special edition of our show, Herstory.
On the rocks!
With Katie.
And Allie.
Usually, we'd be hanging out just the two of us with a couple of cocktails talking about famous women in history, but sometimes we like to talk to people who are writing about women in history or writing musicals about them.
We have a very special guest here with us today, Jennifer Swed. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited to have Jennifer here with us. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am a visual artist by day, and by night I'm working on creative endeavors like theatrical productions and musicals and that sort of thing.
And we're here today to talk about 19, the musical. And before we jump into it, can you tell us about the cocktail you made?
Yes, I can. So I wanted to create kind of like a cocktail themed around the suffrage movement. And so I was supposed, it's really hard to make purple cocktails, but we tried our best to make a purple cocktail with a big yellow lemon in the middle. So it is gin, lemonade, blackberry liqueur, and lemon bitters. And you shake that up and then you pour it into a glass and you top it with tonic water and you garnish with a lemon slice.
Cheers.
So cheers.
That is beautiful and it sounds delicious.
It is tasty.
It is. It's very, very good. We're always struggling with the purple. That's the hardest color cocktail to make, we found out.
Yeah.
You conquered it. It looked purple.
So the first thing we always like to do for our listeners is set the scene for the time period. Can you tell us what time period your musical is in and what life was like for women at the time?
Sure. So life wasn't too great for women. We're talking about the story spans, oh goodness, about 12 to 13 years. And it starts in the early 1900s, and then we end in 1920, which was when the suffrage amendment was passed, the 19th Amendment. At that time, women had very few rights. So prior to voting, women were not able to hold on to their own paycheck. When women worked outside of the home, if they were paid, it went straight to either a parent or a spouse. We already know they weren't allowed to vote. They really didn't have a voice in anything. They were certainly being educated. We know that women were starting to, were enrolling in college and in bigger numbers back in the early 1900s. But their rights were non-existent, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm. And so your musical is pretty much about the 19th of the 19th Amendment. And this is a time period where we would recognize a lot of the names involved. So who do you highlight in the musical and what made you choose those particular women out of the many women that were involved?
So initially the idea had started with Susan B. Anthony, and I had been reading a biography about her and I thought, you know, suffrage is a great story, and it's told in such a fragmented way. We learn bits and pieces of it in school. And as I'm reading and I'm realizing, Susan B. Anthony wasn't even alive when the suffrage amendment was passed in 1920. She had died, you know, 13, 14 years before that even happened. And then upon researching even more, you see this set of young women who are coming up behind her, who are following in her footsteps, and they were just dogged in their fight. And these were names that I wasn't very familiar with. And we focused on Alice Paul, who was, according to some historians, there's still a lot of debate, but she was the one who really pushed that amendment across the finish line. So because her name is, as we say in one of the songs, her name is really buried in history, I thought, you know, this is a story. This is an amazing story of a woman in her 20s who had no rights, had no voice, and really took up the mantle of suffrage and said, I am going to get women across this nation the vote. And I'm not going too far off the path here, but the thing about 19 and talking about 19 for the last, we've been working on this show for 7 years and performing it live for the last 7 years minus COVID, the story is still relevant. And that's what resonates too. And that's what made us so interested in telling this story as an inspiration for ourselves of how you can affect change as an individual, and the determination of these women who no was not an answer when it came to discrimination, and they just kept going. So Alice Paul, Lucy Burns was another suffragist that we highlight, Inez Milholland, Carrie Chapman Catt. And there were sort of these warring factions within suffrage, as with any movement, groups start to splinter and break apart. And then we have Ida B. Wells, who is the famed journalist, anti-lynching activist, and her story is a fascinating one. And we weave it in and out of 19 because this is, you can't tell the story of suffrage without also talking about the discrimination that was happening to women of color, to Black women, to Brown women, how people were being left out of the movement. So that also plays a big part in telling the story.
Absolutely. And in the last, decade and a half, some of the very famous historic musicals have obviously been things like Hamilton, things like Six, but there are so many before that, right, that are set in historic time periods. What are some of the musicals that inspired you to want to write a musical about suffrage?
So writing a musical was never even remotely on the agenda for me, ever. And what happened was we were finishing up another production. It was about Edgar Allan Poe. We had done this big theatrical immersive production, and this was wrapping up right in 2016. And Hamilton was such an enormous hit, and it was just everywhere. And you're listening to it, and you're thinking, okay, this is how this country got started and got on its feet, and it's inspiring, and we're going to make it through these tough times. And 2016 election, we're going to have our first female president, and let's do something to honor this moment. And, didn't work out that way. So, at the time I was thinking, let's just shelve this. Let's put this aside. This country isn't ready for this. We clearly still have a major issue with women. Done. And then the Women's March happened. And that realization that we are hungry for stories about ourselves, that we are not seen reflected in history. And that was the impetus to bring it forward. And with regard to your question specifically about musicals, it wasn't just Hamilton in general. There's a line in Hamilton, and it's this big applause line where Angelica Schuyler is singing that when she meets Thomas Jefferson, she'll compel him to put women in the sequel. And that was the line for me that I'm like, why are we waiting to write a sequel to this story? I don't need anybody's permission. Sure, I'm not a musician. I've never done this, but why not? And that was really what was behind it.
Yeah. And you had, I believe, a partner producing this and helping get this off the ground. So what was that process like of collaborating with someone and turning this idea into a full-blown stage production?
Yeah. So it was on the pretty high level insanity to pursue this. We have a company called Through the Fourth Wall, which is Doug Bradshaw and me. And we come up with ideas and we just say, we're going to do this. We're going to beg, borrow, and steal to make productions. And following doing this Edgar Allan Poe show, we had been approached by a local theater about supporting us in our next production, you know, thinking we're going to do another immersive theatrical. And I pitched the idea of doing a musical about suffrage, and they just got on board right away. So we had community help in getting us up and running for this, but really we were workshopping this production all over the DC, Maryland, Virginia area for about 3 years until COVID hit. We were just sort of growing in public. We were doing what we would call sometimes these public test kitchens, where we would write material and we would take our stingers out with music stands, and we'd be in a little theater and have an audience. And, you know, does this work? No, this one's great. Okay, let's scratch this one. Let's keep that one. So it was really the process really evolved. Also with the cast and the cast weighing in on it constantly, giving us feedback and really helping us shape the story.
And what modern day elements did you bring into the story? That's one of the really fun things about musicals and stage productions is you can weave in things that are in like the current cultural vernacular.
Yeah, so we did some of that. You know, we reference the hashtagging that people talk about now. There's a reference to selfies. You know, there's some modernisms in there, which are, some people love hearing them, some people don't. And I will always maintain, for this story in particular, I stood by the modern elements in it, because the story is sadly timeless. I don't want it to be a timeless story. I want this to be a historical story. It is not. And because it feels so present day, because voting rights are constantly under attack, women's rights are constantly under attack, it felt, to me, it felt like a connection between the past and the present, and also a way to add a little bit of lightness to a story that's not really light.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, because when I pictured this musical in my head, I was picturing just like the very traditional, you know, suffragette outfits, the long skirts, the starched collars, and the, you know, sashes, yeah. And the big hats.
Mary Poppins look.
Yes. And then when I was watching clips of it, I was like, oh, they are in very like kind of like modern outfits, and some of them have like newsprint on them, and I love that some, like, the men that are on stage just have like a man on their t-shirt. Can you tell us a little bit about the costumes and the choices that went into them? I would love to hear that.
Sure. So we were really doing this with no budget. Mm-hmm. And so it started almost as a little bit of a joke with, how are we going to outfit people? What are we going to do? You know, the women being in t-shirts that just say suffragist, mm-hmm. we're like, okay, that's strong. We know who they are. The audience will know who they are. And then we're like, what do we do about the men? Oh, I know. Man.
Yeah.
So the men just, that's who they are. And it's that the intent behind that was that women are so often dismissed in storytelling and sidelined, and they're just a side character. Okay, in our story, we're giving men the same treatment. They don't get a distinction. They're just man.
Yeah.
So that's what was behind that. And then for the stage show that we did in 2019, we elevated their costumes a tiny bit. You mentioned the newsprint. It really had, those were all suffrage stories on their shirts and leggings and dresses. They were all suffrage news stories. And then we added our choreographers were using Janet Jackson as an inspiration for the choreography. So we added some military looking jackets to go over the t-shirts. And then act two, we switched from suffragist and we gave them those phrases like nevertheless she persisted, and feminist as I've heard you all curse on your show, so
oh yeah, feel free.
Okay, and then you know, a character has a feminist as fuck t-shirt on, so it was trying to, you know, it's giving them more individual identities as the movement evolved,
right? And I mean, the big news right now is that the musical is being turned into an audiobook. How is that experience and how is the transition going?
So it was a decision that we came to probably about a year or two ago. So we were heading full on to doing a stage production, COVID. Okay, we've got to shelve everything. And because we're not really a theater company, we're just two people with ideas who ask for money to put them on. We didn't have enough of a structure to say, let's risk it with COVID. Let's try to put it back on the stage. And we were trying to think of alternative ways to keep the story alive because we love the story and we feel it needs to be told. So that's when the idea of, well, what if we put it on an audiobook, and Angels in America is on Audible, and they do an amazing job of translating it from a stage play to an audiobook with, you know, using stage direction. And it's not a musical by any stretch. There's some musical interludes in it. I was like, we can do that. We can take our show into the studio. We can add in stage directions. And Doug Bradshaw, who's my partner in all of this, he completely rewrote the script to add all of that back in so that the listener would get a sense of a place in the audiobook and listening to it, that they could hopefully feel like they're seeing some of what's happening in their mind. And then we went into a studio in Virginia, Innovation Music, and we recorded our cast there, everybody. And what was great, let me just say as a thank you to them. So these people, we've been working with them for 7 years and dropped out during COVID, and they all came back, minus one who had become a flight attendant, but the rest of them all came back, like picked up where we left off years ago, went into the studio, and they performed it. And in real time, we were performing each scene with a pianist in the studio. So that had a nice dynamic of them being able to play off of each other, almost like in a real performance. So, yeah. And then the editing process was a lot. I mean, you edit all the time. So you know, it's, you know, you have to be meticulous, and got through that about a month or so ago. And now as of today, it is officially available on Audible and Amazon. So it is out there in the world. Yeah.
Hey, that's so exciting. We love audiobooks on the show, so we are so excited for people to listen to it. And what a great way for people to access the material that's not just a cast recording of songs that are maybe a little out of context. So I love this idea of turning into an audiobook. And I am curious, because we've never had someone who wrote a musical on here before. Do you have a favorite song? Does it change all the time? And which one was the hardest for you to write?
Oh, such good songs. Okay. Do I have a favorite song in the musical? Oh my God. That's like, who's your favorite child?
I know.
Totally fine with answering. I'm just trying to think. I think I'm partial to a song called Damned If I Do, and it's where the character Ida Wells is singing about joining in the fray of a protest and understanding that she literally would be putting her life and limb on the line to do that if she gets involved. And if she doesn't get involved, her life and limb is still on the line. So I love that one. And I loved writing the story of it. And I love, there's a chorus in there that pulls an Amazing Grace, where the rest of the cast is singing about the sins of what they've done. And I think it's just such a beautiful, it's a beautiful combination with the spiritual and then the factual, and it just, and the performer who that is, Millicent Scarlett, singing is just, Amazing. So it's that's probably, I'm going to say, one of my favorites, but I have lots of favorites. Our songs are, I mean, we're not, so Doug and I, neither one of us are musicians. So we're writers, but we're not musicians. So yes, things changed a lot, but right out of the gate, I think our first song was something like 20 minutes long, and we just didn't know. We cut it down to, I think, 11 minutes. It's the war at home in act one of the show, and it closes that act with the story of the U.S. Heading into war, World War One, or the Great War at that time. So yes, it changes a lot. It evolves. I mean, now it's sort of, we're done, but still when we listen to it now, we're like, oh, I changed this, or we should have tried that. Mm-hmm. So we feel like it's still alive a little bit, but yes, it does change a lot.
Yeah. Is the production still running, and where can people see it be performed?
So it's not running right now. The audiobook was our stage one of returning to this production. So we're hopeful that we'll do some events surrounding the release of it in the DC area, but we haven't determined any dates yet.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what we want to know now is, where can people find you on social media and keep up with where they can find the audiobook and your other productions so that they can keep track of what you're doing?
So we are, you can go to 19themusical.com, and that will link you to our Instagram, to our the audiobook. There's a link to it there. And we're also, hold on, I'm looking. We are 19_themusical on Instagram and Facebook too. And that's where we do most of our updating of it. And like I said, it's available on Amazon and Audible, 19themusical. And I will be, thank you for reminding me. I have to put that link up there now. So sorry, my partner in this, Doug, he is here, and he just said, mind you, that we want to, we would love to license the show too. So that's, I forgot to mention that when we were talking. So if there's any summary of it at all, we're hoping to license the show to schools in the future.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this musical. Sure. I'm really excited for people to listen to the songs and just get more into the suffrage movement, because as you said a couple times, it is still so timely.
Really, really is. I so appreciate you having me on. This was great. And I love your purple drink.
Thank you.
Listening to Her Story on the Rocks. We are independently produced by 1986 Entertainment and proudly recorded in Baltimore, Maryland. If there's a woman in history you would like us to cover, you can email us at herstoryontherocks@gmail.com. You can also message us on Twitter or Instagram. We post all of our cocktail recipes on Tuesdays so that you can go get all the supplies you need and drink along with us. See you next week. Bye.